I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh, yeah, we're rocking and screaming today on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show where we field your car questions, concerns, and even your musical questions with the great Greta Van Fleet and with Joe in the background. It's phenomenal what this man can do, I tell you. It's just unbelievable. Your host, Ray Guarino, my co-host, wingman, guy at the con, the guy we call...
The other guy.
Joe D, sitting over there. And we do have a guest in the studio today, Danny... How you doing, Danny? That mic is yours. Yes, you are our guest. Sean had asked us, our program director asked us if we wouldn't mind having you sit in with us to see what we do, because you like cars.
Of course.
So here we are. We all like cars. That's why we're here. That's why we do it. If you want to follow us, well, you can call us, of course, 516-572-7440. If you would like to follow us and see what we do when we're not behind the microphones... You can follow us on Instagram and on, well, let's leave that one for a second. We'll start from the other side. Our website, motormouthradio.com. Motormouth Radio is also our Facebook tag and our Twitter tag. And if you want to follow us on Joe's favorite Instagram, it's...
Real_MotormouthRadio.
That's right. And then you can see what we do during the week. We post pictures and stuff. We are, even though we're old dinosaurs and fossils, we've kind of adapted to new technology.
We're just a little slow.
Yeah, we're just a little slower, but we still make it work. So that's how you can do that. You can get in touch with us, follow us, give us a call, 516-572-7440, where we'll be talking about all sorts of automotive stuff today. Nothing scheduled, nothing planned. That's the way we roll. So, with that, we start off. I have this problem, Joe. You know I got many problems, but one of them is I got to learn to write. I used to write down the topic lists that I had as they pop into my head during the week, and I always say, "Oh no, I'll remember that." Poof, gone. And I just had one last night that I wanted to talk about that was gone, but. We can talk about something I got involved with at the shop where we had a late model Jeep, a 2013, and it had a little bit of a noise. We were just talking about this before the show, and they wanted me to look at the serpentine belt and the pulleys. There's an idler pulley, and there's a... what's the other one? I only said the word about 30 times before the show. A tensioner pulley. So we couldn't really condemn either one, and what we did is put a bar, a long bar on the tensioner, and a bad tensioner, just so you know, what you do is you look at it, and if it's bopping around and vibrating, you could say, okay, the spring in there is weak, and that's a good reason to condemn it. This thing was pretty rock solid, so we couldn't do that. Through a bar, when you listen through the bar, it'll transmit the noise, and we heard... Like, you know, a grumbling noise, but not, again, not one that you'd say, oh, yeah, that thing is toast.
Oh, grumbling. Oh, we never rumble.
And it wasn't our stomachs, right. So, end of the day, what I did is I had changed the, I took the belt off. You take the serpentine belt off, start the car, and now you want to see if there's still a noise. In this case, there was nothing, because it's not a conclusive test, because you've basically just disconnected everything that the drive belt runs, which is everything that spins, besides the actual crankshaft. and camshafts. But so we took a shot and felt the pulleys, and one is just a pulley on a shaft. The other one has a bearing in it. They both felt okay, but this is one of those times where we took a step and said, okay, let's change these parts. We usually don't like to do that. We like to have conclusive evidence, but we did it, and problem was solved. We put a bar back on that tensioner, and we didn't hear the grumbling, so everything was hunky-dory. So it worked. That's one case where throwing the dice is... Joe, your one headphone cup is backwards. I don't know if you realize that. On your left ear, the headphone cup is backwards. So, sometimes you do that, and you get lucky. Other times you don't. So it was a... that's one of those finely tuned decisions you have to make when you're working in a shop about when to spend money on a part and when not to. So, anything of interest this week for you in the diagnostic and shop worlds that you orbit in? Or were you just, was it a normal, uneventful kind of, we've had some slow weeks lately,
Yeah, it just never comes to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. And then sometimes when it comes to the surface, it's like lava, and it spews all over the place. But what about you, Danny? I know you're a driving man. And tell us about the car you have out in the parking lot. It's quite a throwback. I'm impressed.
All right. So I have a 1995 Honda Delso hardtop convertible. Me and my dad work on it for some times over the summer.
Okay.
And it went from a top speed at 80 miles per hour to 115, 120 pushing it now.
Now, how did you do it? What changes did you do that affected a change like that? Because that's pretty significant.
We added a couple parts to it. I don't know. I don't really remember, but I know we are working on getting a turbo on it just to make it go even faster. It has racing suspensions on it. It has a little bit upgrades. I don't really remember. I have to ask him again.
Okay.
But
so your dad's running the show on that one. He's driving the bus and you're kind of following along?
Yes.
That's cool. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great way to learn. So what is it about that car you like the most?
What I like about this car is that whenever I take the top off, I just feel the wind everywhere. I just blast the heat, and I can just be comfortable whenever I drive.
Okay. One of the cars that I own a little Fiat Spider. I was going to bring it today, but it was
The wind in the hair, bugs in the teeth. Yep.
Yeah, but it was a matter of, just like the world we live in, I had to move other cars to get that one, and I said, you know what? It just ain't worth it. It's an overcast day, so it wouldn't be a top-down day. But that's another car that's got some phenomenal heat. And if I put the top down and the windows up, and all I do is open the heat vent. I don't even have to I very rarely ever use the fan. Enough heat comes through there where you're very toasty warm. And that's kind of a cool feeling. And then you see people looking at you like, what the hell is he doing with the top down on a day like this? It's like 50 degrees. But
they don't know how warm it is in the inside.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's very, very true. So, yeah, those are the fun things we do. But, little Honda, that's a great little car. They were very popular for a while. And then I think they fell into kind of a cult status where now you just don't see many of them anymore. Do you know what the platform is on that, Joe? If the powertrain was from another car,
it's going to stick with you. That's for sure.
Yeah, was it like a? I don't know. I don't know what it would have. What platform that would be? What car they would have used? A Civic, an Accord. I don't know.
It has iVTEC on it.
Okay, the iVTEC. Now, there's a couple different VTECs, right? There's a few. What is the iVTEC? What does the I designate? Do you have any idea?
I don't remember, Joe.
Because I know there was a couple of those VTECs, and they make some really wild power. They're very great, good platforms.
Instant cam change. Yep. You never know.
So you're saying variable
valve. You don't know it's going to come back and haunt you. Yep.
Variable valve timing we're talking about. Yeah. I know. Let's see. I'm trying to think. The predecessor, the S2000. is another Honda that came out now that I don't remember what the year range was. I like the car. It's a nice little two-seater convertible, sporty car, and they're really popular, too. I mean, people, you know, go nuts over those things. And that's another one that's just, it's got a cult following of its own out there. So, yeah, so listen, if you have a foreign car, a little sports car that you like to play with, give us a call. 516-572-7440. We'll talk about it and see what kind of mods you did. I would imagine that your car has a few little engine mods in it, you know, especially if you're increasing. Well, you know, top speed, that's not a hard thing to do, really, because even in my Fiat, which was, it's a 2-liter dual overhead cam, it's not a fast car. They would never know it was a fast car. Just doing an exhaust, an intake and exhaust change really made a big difference. But I've
got to breathe.
That's right. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, me, Rob. How you doing?
Good, Rob. What's happening?
Hey, Rob.
Oh, all kinds of stuff. I've been working on my wife's O2 Explorer, trying to make it, you know, not look and run like a 17-year-old car. And I got to tell you, you know, when you maintain these things properly, they run very well. They look really good, you know. Last week, I went and I took care of some rust that was on the roof, and then I went and I reshot the roof, and I reshot the lift gate, because I had to replace the lift gate, and that panel back there comes raw. You got to paint it the body color. It came out real nice. So I sent it out to have the car detailed. They polished it all up for me, and it looks beautiful. So now it doesn't look like a 17-year-old car. But here's a question I have for you. There's a strange noise behind the dashboard. Now, I want you to picture this for a moment. Mm-hmm. Think about, like, a bowl, like a large bowl, with a steel ball in the middle of the bowl. And when you take the bowl and you rock it back and forth, the noise that that bowl would make, like to the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have that noise in the dashboard on the passenger side, and it's like behind the airbag area, at least best I could tell. It's sensitive enough that when the car's at the curb, if you slam the passenger side door, you're going to hear that noise. Or, let's say you're driving down the road, you hit a bump, or if you hit the brakes, right, you'll hear that same noise. Like, there's rocking back and forth. What do you think it is? Before I go tearing the dashboard all apart,
have you ever heard
of anything like that?
What kind of frequency is it? Like, is it a fast noise or is it a slow noise? Is it dependent on how hard you rock the car?
Let's say if you were to go and take the car door and slam it, it would be exactly this fast. It would be like...
Oh, it continues. It continues on like that?
Oh, yeah. It's like a ring wave. It, like, you know, like,
yeah,
a king wave.
Right. I got you.
Yeah. That's why I say, think about if you had like a large bowl, like a spaghetti bowl. Yeah, you couldn't get really spaghetti bowls. Right?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, right now
yeah,
would be nice,
and
too.
Take a steel bowl and put it in a spaghetti bowl.
Right.
Okay, and rock the spaghetti bowl back and forth, you know, and the bowl will climb up the sides, right?
Yeah.
And eventually it, you know, kind of rests, you know, finds its way to the center. Let's say it's a deep center, and it just kind of finds its way down to the center. So imagine what that would sound like. Like,
I got the analogy. I'm just trying to think what could do that. I mean, I was thinking of things that would make a noise like the rocking, and now, but something that has a, you know, little hysteresis to it where it continues
correct.
On. That's a whole nother thing. Yeah.
And it's behind the dashboard, like on the passenger side. It definitely sounds like it's in that area. And I don't know if there's something in there. Now, of course, when I had the thing to Ford for other service, the guy's like, oh, yeah, you got a pen sitting on top of, like, the duct that fell out of the glove box, and they go back there, and, yeah, there was some crap sitting on top of the duct, but no, because as soon as I took the car out again, it was like,
right.
So there's something in there, and I doubt highly if it's something that fell down into the defroster duct, because the defroster duct is well protected, right? And I've owned the car since it was, like, you know, 2 years old. It's an 02. We bought it in 04, and the car had, like, 31,000 miles on it. So, you know, most of its history is with me, and I never, ever recall that noise. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm hearing this rocking noise, driving me nuts.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Other than that, I mean, the car, beautiful shape, you know, looks really good, polishes up nice, motor runs great. You know, put a new suspension in, new brakes, all that stuff. Did that dopey primary timing chain rattling issue, took care of that. I have no inkling to retire the car anytime soon. Yeah, you know, it's got 215,000 on it, and you know, I'll take it until it explodes, or you know, or whatever. But so I have no thought about taking it out of service right now. But this one noise is driving me up the wall.
You know, the one thing that I think of, like everybody says now, you know, you go and you Google it and see. Have you looked at any of the forums that pertain to that vehicle to see if anybody else has reported a similar problem?
Yep, and nothing.
Nothing. So it is. Nothing. It is.
The only thing I get, you know, when I do that, like, you know, behind the dashboard noise or rocking noise, the only thing I get is the typical, you know, like a clicking noise behind the dashboard, which is that blend or modulator that explodes all the time.
Sure.
And I've put two of those in already, and let me tell you, that's no picnic either, putting that dopey thing in.
I know. That's not fun at all.
But so the thing rocks. Well, at least I can say, hey, man, my car rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll put our collective minds to this and see if we can come up with anything. And if we do, we will let you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and, you know, because you have good access to that part of the dashboard when you take out the glove box and then you unscrew the airbag and you slide the airbag out, and that opens up the whole dashboard.
Right.
So then from there, I'll do a little bit of exploratory surgery. But I was just wondering if anybody knew anything, well, related to the rocking, of course.
I would even keep your head, you know, to, like, I'd look at the evaporator and see if maybe something is in there that's moving around. Because you're not going to see that, obviously.
No, obviously. But, you know, it's definitely something which is round or cylindrical and is in an area which is maybe tapered, you know, slightly.
It can make a parabolic motion.
Yeah, and it's exactly. And it's sensitive enough that when you slam in the passenger door, it'll make it rock.
All right, Rob. Well, we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that one. And if we find, let us chew on that for a while. And if I find something out, I'll certainly let you know.
Yeah, message me or whatever have you, okay?
Will do.
I appreciate it.
All right, Rob.
All right, I got to get back to cleaning the mess that I made now. So,
all right. Alrighty.
All right. Gentlemen, enjoy your day.
Thanks,
Happy
Rob.
Happy Sunday.
Will do, man. So long.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that was Rob with a question. You see, it's not always easy, guys. We don't always get the easy stuff. That thing is totally out of left field. It's almost like with this show, you know, and it's kind of like, geez, you know, what do you do? Like, when the curtain falls, it's all over on 90.3 WHPC.
Brought to you by Rita Presents, the 20th edition of the Homemade Wine Extravaganza, an afternoon of food, wine, and dancing, Sunday, November 10th at 1 p.m. at Verdi's Restaurant, 680 Old Country Road in Westbury. You can enter your wine, red or white, 1 gallon per entry, and no bottles, please. Find out how to reserve your spot to attend and how to register your wine for the Homemade Wine Extravaganza on Sunday, November 10th at 1 p.m. at Verdi's Restaurant in Westbury by calling 516-426-1701. That's 516-426-1701.
Are you ready to vote this election day, Tuesday, November 5th? You can vote for the important races, like who will lead the Nassau County Legislature, Town of Hempstead Supervisor, and for your favorite radio station.
That's not a real thing you can vote for.
It is now. This election day, you can choose to vote for 90.3 WHPC at our official polling place, California Pizza Kitchen, 1256 Old Country Road in Westbury. On Tuesday, November 5th, California Pizza Kitchen will donate a portion of the proceeds to our nonprofit, non-commercial educational radio station. Just inform your server before you order that you are there to support the voice of Nassau Community College. That's Tuesday, November 5th at California Pizza Kitchen in Westbury. Thanks for supporting all of us at 90.3 WHPC.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
And we play good music, too, on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We got Danny with us. And a new addition, we have DJ Scholes.
Yeah.
Chris Scholes is in with us. He was our master board tech at the Tobey Beach Show. If you were down there, if you were fortunate enough to come and partake on those great food trucks and all the custom cars, you saw Chris spin the spinning things and sliding the slidey things, as Joe likes to say. And thanks again for that, Chris.
No problem.
That was a great day that... That's somewhere you should have been, Danny, down at Tobe Beach.
Yes, yes.
The show was huge. They had, I didn't get an official count. I know last year they said it was 700 cars. I'm sure they had probably 800 or more, because the little bit of walking around we did do, I saw there was quite a, it's unbelievable. It's such a huge venue.
Oh, yeah, it's
just
definitely.
Just hard to get in and out.
The parking lot was huge. I think the biggest attraction was literally the biggest attraction. It was a huge truck. When we first pulled in, it was a 350. It was they had the Tahoe right next to it.
Right.
Had like a, I couldn't even tell you, like a 5-foot lift kit on it.
That's something you should be driving.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to look into something like that. Yeah. I think my next car is definitely going to be a truck, though.
Okay.
I want to get a Silverado.
All right. Well, you're driving an SUV now, which is okay. You know, that's kind of, you know, it's big.
Yeah.
It's not a small one.
No, it's a 2005. I actually had to do some work on it a few weeks ago. I had to replace the brake hose and replace the two end links for my sway bar.
Right. Yeah, that's common. You know, that's just normal. We call that wear and tear.
Yeah.
It's like the soles of your shoes. You know, you wear your shoes, you're going to wear down the sole. So cars, you know, it's tires, shocks, brakes, and rubber things as they start getting older, like end link bushings and tie rod ends and, you know, things like that. It's just kind of normal stuff. But you have to be on it, because if you don't, that problem will just get worse, and that'll take out something else. Then it's going to be ball joints and control arm bushings. And before you know it, you're in for like an $800 bill instead of a $200 bill. So you got to be, and people don't pay attention to stuff. Well, now everybody leases everything, so, you know.
Yeah, nowadays people just lease. My parents just lease cars.
Yeah.
All they do is just lease. My dad has a 2019 RAV 4Runner, and my mom has a nice Hyundai Sonata. I love the Sonatas.
Sonata is a very popular car. That's kind of like, it's become the Camry of the, you know, of the world. It's like, I mean, Camrys were always big, and of course you go to they said down in Florida, it used to be the Crown Vic. Everybody drove the Crown Vic or the Mercury Marquis, the Grand Marquis. And then after they started getting phased out, everybody was driving Camrys. And now it's just Sonatas. You know, Joe, I'm sure you see them all over the place, right? There's got to be, you know, more of them than anything. I don't know. It seems like it's, you know, it's like gumballs. They're just every place. But, yeah, leasing is kind of what people do. It makes sense. You know, my wife's even telling me, maybe you should lease a car. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's only because of working on the new stuff. They've kind of taken it out of our hands. And Joe knows better than anybody that, you know, you just can't do certain things anymore if you're anything less than a dealer technician, you know. So it's tough, very tough. So we like our old cars. You know, yes. We drive our old stuff. Yes. And that's something we could work on. We can, you know, we can change, we can modify.
Easily get parts.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you a story about that. Here's one for you. Last Monday, driving my Fiat, talking about that Fiat Spider. And I noticed when I came up the driveway, I heard a little bit of a clunk. So I'm very conscious of little noises and little changes. And I know, like, in my mind, they said, okay, I probably should look at the front wheel bearings. I haven't looked at them in a long time. I mean, the car doesn't get used a lot. But every once in a while, you just have to readjust them, re-grease them, readjust them. So I went out there, and I did. I took the right wheel apart, and I pulled out the outer bearing. There's an outer and an inner. They're tapered bearings. And I saw a little less grease on the bearing surface than I wanted to see. And it didn't leak out anywhere. But, you know, it's been a couple of years. It's been years. So I took it out, cleaned it in the tank, and re-greased it. I said I really should take the inner out as well. The problem with that car is the caliper is held on by these wedge slides. It's a really archaic thing that the Italian cars did. I think some others did, too. It's a pain in the neck, real pain, because you get the little tiny clips, and your hands are greasy, and it's just bleh. But I said, well, I got to do it, because you got to take the caliper off to get the caliper bracket off, to get the rotor off so you can get that inner bearing. So I have a trick that I learned back in the shop many, many moons ago that I now have to make a mental note to amend. And it was to remove an inner wheel bearing. The inner wheel bearing is in the back of the rotor, and there's a grease seal. And I have a seal puller tool that I could use. It's kind of like a crowbar thing. But what I learned, someone showed me a shortcut. Once you get the front bearing out, you put the nut back on the spindle, then bring the rotor forward, cock it, and just slam it against the nut. And the bearing and seal will pop out, stay on the spindle. I'm sure, Joe, you've seen that probably 1,000 times in the shops, right? So I did that. No problem. Clean the bearing, greased it, put it back. Go to the other side of the car. Did the same thing. Took the front one out, got the rear bearing out, but now that bearing, it got caught, I guess, on the nut. And there was a a little coil spring in there that was kind of bound up. I said, geez, what the heck is this? You know, it's okay. Well, I'm going to replace the bearing. So I walked to the auto parts store by my house, which is a very good store. And my buddy, who's a very good foreign auto parts guy, couldn't find a bearing. He says, I don't have a number. And the numbers right now, it was an SKF number right on it, clear as day. And he even looked on Rock Auto at the auto parts store. He looked on Rock Auto's site, which is kind of like, you know, a no-no. And he says, no, they don't have it either. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? This is ridiculous. A wheel bearing? So I said, common part, Dan, I figured I could get this thing in 7-Eleven if I needed it. No. So I went home and I looked at it. And I cleaned it and I looked at it. I said, what does that spring do? And I, for best I could come up with, it kind of locks the outer cage to the inner section. So it was already damaged. I took my pick. I removed it. And I could spin the bearing. And I thought I could have probably separated the bearing. I said, okay, probably did hold it together. So I said, okay, what do you do when you're stuck? I greased it. I put it in. I put it back together because I knew once I put it back in and put the nut on, it can't go anywhere. It can't come out. It's not like it can't fall apart because it's captured. And that was it. That's what I did. Now I started looking on the internet to find replacement bearings, and some of the restoration houses have them. But it's not as easy to find as I thought it was going to be. And it's a perfect case of a part that you used to be able to get at the drop of a hat. Now it's a little harder to find, and it surprised me because it's just a wheel bearing. So, I don't know. You may find stuff like that with your Honda in years to come. So the idea is now, stock up on everything now. Like, fill your house with parts like I did, and and you'll have plenty of backups. But I don't know. Oh, what to do. Anyway, if you want to get in on the phone with us, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440, and we'll be happy to talk to you about all of your car concerns and maladies, and just tell us about a car that you used to own. We always love hearing that stuff, too, you know. So what's up this week, Chris? I know you had probably an average week, right? But anything?
I actually got a new job.
Ooh, nice. What are you doing?
I'm a expediter at Ivorone Brothers.
Love that place.
Ivorone Kitchen in Plainview. They opened up a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
You have to check it out. Amazing food.
Ivorone. Now, Ivorone in Wantagh. It's on Wantagh Avenue right by North Jerusalem. Or Jerusalem or North
that's
Jerusalem?
That's the like the meat that's shop. The but store, that's the yeah. whole storefront. But now they opened up. They have a restaurant in New Hyde Park. Okay. And they have a restaurant in Plainview. That's the one that I work at now.
Okay.
So
excellent.
It's a lot better money.
So as an expediter, you're
I'm in charge
purchasing.
Of communicating with the chef and the cooks,
right?
And the waiters and waitresses and the managers.
Okay,
I'm basically the middle guy.
All right.
During this whole process.
Okay.
I recently just left. I can't really say their name on the radio.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
I called them the liquor apartment.
Okay.
If you like flip it around.
Yeah.
I call them the Budweiser's liquor apartment.
That's pretty cool.
There's a place in Levittown.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm saying.
Does a lot of stuff with WHPC.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have to name the names, but I think you can figure it out.
But on Thursday, I worked there, and I was just treated so poorly. I had my two weeks in. I was just treated terribly that night, and I didn't think it was fair to me at all to be yelled at by people, to be belittled, and it's just horrible.
No.
So Friday, I'm working a shift at Ivorone, and there's actually one of the other expediters who was training me actually worked at this place before.
Okay.
And he said, you know, man, like, you got to do what you got to do. If you don't think you're being treated right, then just we would be proud to just have you work for the rest of your 2 weeks, and you'll get your training done and everything. So I called my boss. Yeah. I had him on the phone. I had him on speakerphone, and I said, you know what? This is not working out anymore. I wasn't treated right on Thursday, and you can blame each and every single waitress for that.
Wow.
And he's just like, you know, this is not a way you really want to go out or anything. And I said to him, well, I understand that it's a small world and you don't want to burn your bridges, but I'll think about going anywhere else before I go back to here.
Sure. No, so. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Just the basic tenet. I mean, you got to be treated right. You got to be treated with respect. I mean, that's, and this day especially. I mean, like when we came up, we used to get away with a lot of stuff. What's that? That's the telephone, Danny.
The number.
516-572-7440. I guess Danny wants someone to call. So you're right. So, Chris, I think you did the right thing. It's, you could have gone out in a blaze of glory. You could have gone out the wrong way, but you just decided to when things don't work right, it's just like lover or leaver. We're going to take a break on 90.3 WHPC.
Wonder who lived in your house before you. My grandparents' house, the room that's now a playroom, somebody died before in that room.
Yes. If they happen to die in my room, I don't want to know.
Don't tell me.
The reason I'm asking you this is because a strip club in Tel Aviv was decided to turn into a synagogue.
What?
Yes!
I love it.
I would convert.
The strip club didn't go well. There was a lot of raids for prostitution and drugs.
So let's make it a synagogue.
To turn it into a synagogue. Would we go?
Yes! Are you
kidding
me?
No, I'm definitely there.
What if there's just like random poles everywhere and I'm just be like,
we're still poles together for the cross.
There's no cross in a synagogue.
It's thought that they turn it into the Stars of David.
Vanessa Morning Madhouse. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9. Yeah. On the voice of Nassau Community College. 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
We got a male age 20, possible overdose.
Led Zeppelin? The Kinks? Van Halen? What is this? Who did this?
That's exactly correct, Sergeant Johnson. Who did this? This wasn't any ordinary overdose. This was a rock overdose.
It's Rock Overdose, Mondays through Thursdays at 2 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Boy, I didn't know that here on Motormouth Radio we would have vocal accompaniment, but Chris, DJ Dr. Scholes, was singing like he had it, like he was on stage. That was very impressive, Chris.
Thank you.
That was very good.
If we ever start a band, I'll be the singer.
Excellent. Well, because Joe's a bass player. I'm a drummer, so I guess we got two.
I can play power chords.
And I know you can drum, too. You can do that.
Do you play any instruments?
No. I only drive.
All right. Well, that's okay. Hey. You know, the band needs, there's a lot of people in the back of a band. It's not all just the front man, you know.
You can drive the other truck.
There you go, right.
I'm more of a photography guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool. That's nice. Let's go back to the phones, to the fun. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Danny.
Danny Sr., I imagine.
Yes, this is Danny Sr.
All right. How's it going? Nice to speak with you, Danny.
Pleasure. Likewise.
Excellent. We have your son sitting in front of us, and we've been talking cars, and he said you had a couple cool cars in your past, which perked our ears up right away.
Yeah, I did have a couple cool cars. But cool.
Well, tell us about them, because that's where we come from.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a Honda head. That's what I am. I do strictly Hondas.
Okay.
I had a Prelude, a 93 BB1.
Yeah, nice car.
You know, it's a 2.2 liter.
Right.
Really nice, really fast. Nothing of it was original, of course.
Right. Well, yeah, of course, because once you get into it, you know, I mean, when you get into a car that deep, the body will be original, and maybe not even the seats, but, you know.
Maybe just the body was original.
Yeah.
And the engine, but, you know, a couple modifies here, you know, modifications.
Right, right. Yeah, a couple, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What got you into Hondas? I mean, they're great cars, huge following, but what got you into them?
What got me into it was the price-wise.
Okay.
You know, if you like speed, the cheapest way to go is the Honda.
Right.
Which, you know, a lot of people underestimate, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Hondas have been... Well, that's the beauty of it. Hondas have been such a... I mean, they're out there. There's so many Hondas on the road. It's like back in the day, Datsuns, you know? We had a ton of them. So it brings the parts point down. And then when you have aftermarket manufacturers to come in to support those cars, now you can really start having some fun.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of aftermarket for these cars. A lot.
Right, right.
So, like OEM don't exist for these cars no more. They're just so old, 95s, 93s. Like right now I have a Del Sol, which my son is driving, by the way.
Yep.
And, you know, it's got a couple mods. It's 125 horses, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot faster than that now.
Right. Yes, he alluded to that, and I was asking him what was done, and he wasn't really 100% sure. And I said, yeah, I'm sure it was some engine mods. I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, intake manifolds, titanium springs, and, you know, just little modifications here, coilovers, full exhaust from Manta. Right. Let me see. That's it. That's it for now, to be honest. But
is that car, is the car lowered?
It's lowered on coilovers, yes.
Okay. So obviously now, what do you guys do like in the winter? Because winter's here, you know, we have snow. We're not in sunny California. How do you have winter drives?
Well, to be honest with you, I had a 300ZX,
mm-hmm.
and on the winter time, it was kind of hard to drive. For front wheel drives, it's not. And as low as it is, I think if they're going to say 8 inches or more, I cannot drive that thing.
Oh, sure. Well, that's what I'm saying. So do you guys have, like, other vehicles in the fleet? You have some winter cars or trucks that you
can afford? Yeah, we do. We have an SUV, of course, to back us up.
Yeah.
You know, you can't strictly go, not in New York, with low cars because you can't move.
Yeah, the potholes are one thing, but the snow, that's quite... I mean, even in heavy rain, it can be a problem. You know, I've had some issues.
Right. Rain, you just got to slow down on rain and stuff, but
right.
It's fun.
So Danny happened to mention that there might have been, we were looking at some of the pictures we have out in the, of course, some car shows out here, and there was mentioned maybe of a lowrider in the fleet at one point.
Oh, yeah, I had a lowrider when we lived in California.
Nice.
I had a 79 Lincoln Mark V.
Oh,
yeah. It was just a big boat, very nice.
Right,
very
right.
comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't bring that one over when we moved to New York.
Okay.
So I gave it to my brother, and my brother sold it, of course.
Was it on hydraulics, or was it an air system? How did you have it set up?
No, it was actually stock on the suspension. It was just so smooth that I didn't want to touch it.
Wow, okay. Wow, you're surprising me.
The carburetor was done, and, you know, just more flow. And that was the kind of car you had the gas prices and all. You know, I was putting like $50 every 2 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My God.
On a Honda, you don't do that. You do $50 a week.
Yeah. And the Lincoln's like, you know, 5,000-pound car, too. So, you know.
Yeah, it is. Very heavy.
What about the paint? How was the car set up outside? Did you do some trickery?
Yeah, you know what? I took it to my brother-in-law's cousin. He did the upholstery and the paint job. It was gold. I wish I had pictures I can share with that, but
yeah,
it was really nice. You know, I was working it. Eventually, it was going to get hydraulics, but, you know, we had to move to New York and all that.
Right.
Yeah, but lowriders over here, I can't get into them because of the hydraulic systems. It's too cold. They can snap. They can break.
Yeah.
I heard, you know, but I do see hydraulic. I do see old lowriders over here.
Oh, sure.
Which makes me want to get back in the game.
We got involved with these guys called ELTC, the Exceeding Limits Truck Club, and they deal with all mini trucks, but they do body drops and suspension drops. And what they told us was you got to use a double wall bag if you're going to drive the thing, because the single wall bags, they leak, they rupture. So it's basically, you know, a double wall bag, and they had a lot of luck with that. And then, I mean, these things are so long. I got a picture. I'll show Danny. I have a picture. One of the guys came to the show. He met me in the parking lot. And this little,
right.
I guess it was an S10. The truck was so low. Well, these guys got to cut a hole in the hood for the engine to come through when they drop it. Because that's how low the body, I mean, a body on the ground, touching the ground. Very, very
right, cool. Right, right.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, those are really nice. I was looking into airlift suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
For the Del Sol, so when you park it, it's just going to be practically just laying on the floor.
Right. Yeah, same idea.
You know?
Yeah, same idea.
Yeah.
That's cool
But
stuff.
When you drive it, it's going to go up.
Right.
And it's going to be a smooth ride and all. But that's also a $4,000 or $5,000 upgrade, so...
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, the stuff isn't cheap. I mean, again, there's an aftermarket out there that kind of is, it's a lot easier to do it now than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Definitely.
You know, but still, you got to lay out the cash. That's why most guys will do some kind of an airbrush with dollar signs or some kind of money, because you just start throwing the cash at it and it's, you know.
Yeah, it's never ending, to be honest with you. You just keep on throwing cash into it.
Exactly. But, you know, the payoff is when you stand back and say, look what I did, you know.
Yeah,
and
look what I built, yeah.
And especially if you have a son, if you have a daughter, you have kids who do it with you, now you got a family project, and that's the payoff right there, you know.
Right.
I always said, you know, people ask me, hey, don't you take your car to go to a car show? I'm like, no, what do I want to go and have some stranger look at my car and tell me what he thinks I should have done to it? Uh-uh. That's not how it works, you know.
I
know what's in there, so... That's excellent. Well, Danny, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. It was great talking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You. Sure. And
thank you.
Keep the number. Give us a call again. We'll be happy to talk with you about anything automotive.
Definitely. Sounds great.
All right. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. That was Danny Sr., Danny's dad. Thanks for having him call, Dan. That's great. That's what makes the hobby go around, you know. And that's great. When it passes from father to son like that, that's fantastic. It really is, you know, it's kind of what makes the world tick, if you will. So, so if you want to get in on this, too, I always have trouble saying that. I always tie my tongue.
Getting in on it?
Yeah.
Getting in on this.
Yeah, it's always like, blah, blah, blah.
It's like your tongue just like, no, it's fine. We don't have to say that.
It's like we talked about a while ago. It's like, slow down, breathe. You know, I hear you when you do your rock overdose. You come in like, I picture like a bull coming through a door. Boom, the door breaks down. You come in like a man on fire.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can just sense the energy. Tell us when your show is on, because people should hear you. They should really.
On Thursdays, I do the Nassau Morning Madhouse, 7 to 9 in the morning, if you're up that early. Mm-hmm. Chances are most people are 9 to 5 or so. Granted, they can catch the last hour.
Right.
And then if you're on a lunch break at 1 o'clock, I'm doing the Nassau Mix 1 to 2 and then Rock Overdose 2 to 3.
Which kind of confused me because I never remember how the shows were formatted. And the Nassau Mix was a little more kind of laid back and calm. And I'm like, what the hell are you playing this stuff for? You actually played the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I did.
You know? But you explained to me that show was more of a top 40 show, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I mainly play, though, rock.
Right.
Like, I'll play alt rock, grunge rock, any type of rock.
Right, right.
That I can play from 90s to today.
And then you go right into Rock Overdose.
And then I'll kick it up with Van Halen, Led Zeppelin.
ACDC. So I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around how you transition from one show to the next. And, I mean, you're doing a board shift at the top of the hour, so it's not even like you're leaving and coming back. It's like you have to have that internal switch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
See, I don't take a lot of talk breaks during the Rock Overdose. Like, if it's a Rock Overdose, people want to hear, like, classic rock music that they don't hear on the radio as often anymore.
Right, right.
I like to play new metal generation, like... stuff on the Nassau Mix, Avenged Sevenfold. I like to play Slipknot sometimes when I'm allowed to.
Right, right.
I'm big into heavy metal and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which
so
is great.
I go back to the roots of like Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And we were just talking before the show, Ginger Baker, like yesterday, drummer from Cream, of course, you know, and Joe and I were talking, he was a real cantankerous SOB, I mean, a lot, you know, he was just hard to get along with, of course, I don't know the guy, you know.
It's a rock star life.
Yeah, but, you know, but some rock stars are really easy to get along with and personable people, and everybody's saying that, you know, Ginger Baker just wasn't, you know, so, but the music of Cream, I mean, that alone, it's one of my favorite bands, you know, just Power Trio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to music, but you know there were some power trios through time that were just so significant. And you think, man, you get three guys together that can just fill a room, fill a stadium with sound. That's magic. That really is magic. So the magic here is you can still get a hold of us. We have some time. 516-572-7440. And we will entertain any car questions, maladies, concerns, or service talk. You know, that's what we do. But for the for now, let's take a trip. We'll take our last break. How about we go to the mountains?
We'll go to the mountains.
Maybe the mountain of the sun.
Definitely.
How about that? On 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Whoa. These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. That was cool.
You are listening to Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D, a.k.a. the Vultures of Automotive Culture, coming your way every Sunday, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. These guys know their stuff. You got a problem with your car? Call in and the Motormouths will help you with the solution in a very informative and sometimes comical way. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., you can also check them out at MotormouthRadio.com.
It's really warming my heart to see someone else air drumming in the studio besides me. I was watching
That's
you
all
with
you
Tobin.
Can do.
When you did your music breaks, you were in. I know, and it's so cool. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go back to the phones and back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Wow, Ray, how you doing? This is Joe calling from Westchester, across the pond.
Hey, Joe, what's happening?
All right, how you guys doing? Great show, and thanks for picking up the phone. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what's up? What's going on today automotively, Joe?
Oh, you guys were talking about fun cars and bearings and all that kind of good stuff, Del Sol.
Yeah.
And I'm doing some work on my, I have an 86 Toyota MR2.
Okay.
And I'm doing the bearings.
Okay.
And I've been reading up a lot of information on the internet and everything. And everyone's saying, oh, you got to take the bearings apart and clean them out and put new grease in them and everything. I mean, I have new sealed bearings from, you know, top manufacturers like Koyo and NSK and SKF. Do I really need to do that?
Well, let me get you straight. Which bearings are you referring to specifically?
It's the
wheel bearings
on the rear. Yeah, they're roller bearings.
Okay, so it is a removable, greasable bearing like I was talking about on my Fiat.
Yeah, they're not, you know, the angled ones. They're like, you know,
tapered.
There's an inner and an outer.
Right. All right. But they are serviceable.
Okay.
So if they're serviceable, the thing to do is remove them and clean them, you know, in a solvent. And then the one thing you don't want to do, they've always said this for years, is you don't want to spin them with, you don't want to put compressed air on them and spin the bearings. And everybody used to like to do that. You put the bearing over your two fingers, you hit the air with the air, and it goes, it spins up. Because on the dry rollers, it can, you know, it can damage. But I do use compressed air. I hold the bearing and I blow air into the cage slowly at a lower pressure so the bearing doesn't spin. It just forces out any of the old cleaner, And then you want to repack the bearing. And of course, I don't, you know, if you're aware, the old way of doing it with grease in the palm of your hand. And
Okay.
But you can buy a bearing packer as well. You know, I have one of those, which is a great tool. It's a, you know, plastic tub that has two tapered, you know, pieces in it. You put the bearing in, you squeeze it, and it keeps your hands cleaner. So you can do that.
Cool.
Absolutely.
But if I just wanted to buy new bearings and throw them in there, do I need to take that sealed bearing grease out and put new, better grease in?
No.
Or is the grease, they it comes with okay?
No, if the bearings are sealed, then they are greased and sealed. You use them the way they are. That's right.
Awesome. Okay, that's terrific. I just wanted to also say that you have a Fiat 124, right?
That's correct.
They're going to do one on Wheeler Dealers this week.
Oh, no fooling. Okay.
Yeah, it's their first Fiat, I think.
Wow.
I don't remember them ever doing one before.
That happens to be not one of my favorite car shows. I'll be honest about it. But they did what they did my other car. They did a 65 GTO, which is the other car that one of the other cars I have. They did one I think 2 seasons ago, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. So
yeah, they did both my MR2 and my WRX. Nice. And also, I'm a Fiat enthusiast from way back. My first car was a 128 Sport.
Yeah. Right, right.
And then I had an X19 for many years.
Wow.
Loved it.
Now,
and that's when I got my MR2 because the X19 just kind of rusted away from me.
Right. Now, the 128 Sport, that's the one that had like the hatchback style rear. It was a.
Yes.
Okay. A good friend of mine had back in the 80s, he had a series of 128s and then 131s. And
Fiat was famous, and
one of the things we found that was a service issue, he kept breaking clutch cables. And then we looked at it, the clutch cable ran right under the battery tray.
Yeah.
And then he finally figured out how to make his own ends on the clutch cable so he didn't have to keep buying them. But
mine snapped in the middle of an intersection. I had to get out and push the car. Luckily, they're light cars.
Right. I know my Fiat, when I stop at a light, a lot of times, you know, it's a stick, so I just put it in neutral. The car just rolls. It's got such rollability to it. It's fantastic.
There's a guy in the advertisers in Grassroots Motorsports, Vic Auto.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a lot of Fiat stuff. And back in the day, there was a guy, Al Cosentino. I don't know if you ever heard
of
him.
Don't know them, no.
He's a Faza, F-A-Z-A. Yeah. He died a few years ago, but he was like the big, Fiat Abarth king. He had all the parts. I got Campagnola wheels from him and all the headers and all the go-fast parts for the X19.
I'll tell you something, Joe. You're going to have to call in the future and talk with us because I can talk about this all day. And this is what it is. You know, I have wheel stories. I have all sorts of stories. And Vic makes a brake kit. They make a conversion to put Wilwood Dynalite calipers on the front of the... I desperately want to change it. It's like $800.
Yeah, the problem.
I can get those calipers. And I asked them, would you sell me just the brackets? And they said, no, it's only a kit.
I know.
I'm like, come on, man. Just help a brother out.
I went through that on the MR2, and I'm putting Celica brakes on it because most of the Toyota parts are interchangeable.
There you go. You see, my thought is to get a new Fiat 500 and see if I can make the brakes fit on the older 124.
So, yeah.
It's
a lot of research there.
Yeah, I just want to take the parts and literally see if I can make them fit. You know, just
do
it in
the
driveway.
Do
just
that.
See if it'll fit, you know. But, please don't be a stranger, Joe. And check us out on our website and, you know, on our social media platforms.
Appreciate that.
We're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well. So,
thanks, Ray. Hi to Joe. And
thanks.
Danny, good luck with the Del Sol.
Thanks,
Joe.
Thank
you.
So
okay.
Long.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye. All right.
No love for Chris, I guess.
No, we're you're too big to fit in those cars.
Exactly.
You know, that's great. See, that's what happens, Dan. You talk about stuff, and next thing you know, you got people calling and they're interested. So, that's great. Great to hear from Joe. I love hearing from new callers. It's that's what drives the show. You know, we can sit and talk all day, but at the end of the day, who wants to hear what we have to say? Well, I could say, some people do because we do disseminate some useful information and we play good music, you know, but we love the callers and that's what it's really all about, you know, because that's the impetus of this show. You know, you, on the other hand, you get into you guys talk about some crazy stuff like a badass, which is cool too. You have free reign.
I mean, I also just talk about wild stuff too.
You do. We got a few more minutes. And we're going to go back to the phones. We'll go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Last in.
Yes, last in is right.
What's going on? I tried to call before because I walked away a couple of times and somebody was talking, but that's okay. Quick question on tires. Speaking yep. to a friend of mine, and he was asking me, if you just buy two new tires, do you put them on the fronts or the backs? Because nowadays there seems to be a push on, oh, you have to put the new ones on the back, because, and they show pictures where you're going around an exit ramp and you can spin out or whatever.
I have the answer. I just talked to someone about this yesterday, and you're absolutely correct. It's the exact opposite of what we grew up with. With rear-wheel drive cars, we always put the new tires in the front. You know, because you could steer with them, and it was the new tires on a front-wheel drive car go on the rear, not the front.
Really?
And I'll tell you, I found out the hard way 2 years ago.
On front-wheel drive cars, too?
Yeah, on my Mazda, I have a front-wheel drive Mazda, and I put dedicated snow tires on it. You know that.
Yes, uh-huh.
So at one point, two of the tires had to be replaced, so I bought two brand-new dedicated snows, and I put them on the front, because I figured those wheels do the drive, they do the steering, they do the braking.
Sure.
Well, went right off. I made a lane change on Sunrise Highway in Massapequa, and as I made the lane change, the slush got caught up. The car just drifted, turned me 180 around. I went up a curb. You should see my wife. She went, I thought I blew the suspension out of the car. Luckily, I didn't, and it was because those new tires were on the rear, not on the front, not the rear. When they're on the front, I felt the confidence of positive steering and traction. I didn't realize the rear could lose traction sooner. The idea is you put the better tires in the back, so the weaker tires in the front, you'll feel the loss of performance, and you'll back off. And if I would have done that, I wouldn't have slid off the road.
I'm going to put chains around my tires.
Really?
There you go. Yeah, so that's it. The new ones go in the back on a front-wheel drive car. Definitely.
It sounds illogical.
Exactly.
Because your front wheels do the steering, do the pulling, especially during snow and stuff. You want more meat, you know?
Well, I'm telling you the story that I went through myself. We've had guys on the show that talked about it and told us that, and I was like, yeah. Well, I still did it the old school way, and I found out. I mean, it cost me a bent rim, and I did damage a little bit of the rocker panel, but that was no big deal. I didn't do worse damage. And as I went over that curb, it was right where the Seaford Oyster Bay comes in.
Yeah.
I found myself sliding across the grass toward the exit ramp for the Seaford Oyster Bay, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, if a truck comes now, you can't stop. You're on slushy grass, and you're actually accelerating. And I had to cross sideways, so I did stop. I stopped. Like, I think the front wheel went over the curb on the other side, and I just stopped. There was nobody coming, but it could have been really bad.
Well, I'm kind of disappointed to hear this, but that's okay. I'll go with it then.
Learn from my mistake.
Yes, absolutely.
New tires on the back. And if you have an all-wheel drive vehicle, you really need to change all four tires at the same time because the difference in tread height, it's picked up by the computers and the wheel sensors, the wheel speed sensors.
Yep. Unbelievable.
All right, Mark.
You learn something factual every day, it would seem.
And sometimes you talk to us.
Yeah, well, that's not really true all the time, but that's all right.
Right.
You guys have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
I'll talk to you soon. All right. Take care now.
So
bye-bye.
That's our good friend Mark, who's a regular. He's been who's really a regular for a while now. He's still around. He's in the clouds. He sends us stuff. But that's it. You know, there's a lot of automotive myths that have to be
debunked.
Yeah, debunked and dispelled and all of that stuff. And that's the game, Danny. What can I tell you, man? You know, you got to just kind of, you always have to be willing. You know, Joe and I, we've been doing this a long time. But you have to be willing to always learn. Like, I learned. And I was told that. But I, in my head, like Mark, I didn't believe it. I figured, I know better than that. Ha ha. You should. If my wife could tell you, she would have said, you stupid so-and-so, what the hell, why don't you listen? I was like, all right, already. We didn't get killed. We're okay.
Yeah, we didn't die. Were you?
Yeah, we're still here to talk about it. So
it makes for a good story the next day.
Well, and yeah, even 2 years later, and it is. It's a good thing to. It is a good thing to know because it's a safety issue, and we always have to be safe. So
hopefully, there's no heavy snowfall this year.
They're saying it's going to be. I've been hearing it's going to be kind of a wet winter as opposed to a snowy winter. I'll take wet over snow and ice any day because you know wet is one thing. Snow and ice is a lot harder to navigate in. So we'll have to see. We're going to live through it and see. And
I hope there's snow. I just want to do donuts in my car.
Yeah, that's what I used to do when I was younger, too. We're going to get out of here. The clock is ticking. We're going to come back next week. We don't have a guest planned yet, but we just might. Danny, thank you for coming in. You're welcome to come in the studio again, of course, next week. Chris, you're always welcome in our studio. You know that. You're one of us.
Yes, sir.
For Joe D., Ray Guarino, Kim is here. Stay tuned for something that a lot of people don't do, introduce the next show. Stay tuned for Thunder Road with Kim Tracy. Best of Bruce Springsteen. We'll see you next week. Bye.